Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. And it came to pass on one of the days that he entered into a ship, himself and his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us pass over to the other side of the lake." And they set off from the shore. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a sudden squall of wind came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in danger. And coming up to him, they woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." But he, rising up, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And being afraid, they were astonished, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" And then in chapter 22 of the same gospel, Luke 22, and verse 39, "And going forth, he went according to his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, 'Pray that ye enter not into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And having knelt down, he prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou wilt, remove this cup from me, but then not my will, but thine be done.' And an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in conflict, he prayed more intently. And his sweat became as great drops of blood falling down upon the earth." I suppose, unless you've been living in a cave the past few days and weeks, you'll agree with me that the world is in a good deal of trouble. Problems seem to occur daily, and there is no answer. The politicians and the scientists and all the other ists have no answer, and the problems of the world are not going to get any easier. It will culminate in the times that we've been reading off this afternoon, when one will appear who will have the answer to all the problems. And where I read in Luke 8, a great problem suddenly blew up. Even this week we've had problems suddenly blow up, haven't we? Here was a problem that suddenly blew up, and they were in fear of their lives. You picture the scene. Here was the creator of the universe asleep in the boat. They cry, "Master, Master." If you look at that word, the note there refers back. It says it's only used of Jesus, the one who is above all, the one who is over everyone. But tonight, dear friend, I really don't want to speak of the world's problems, because I can't solve them. There's only one that can, and that's this blessed man here in the boat. I'll come back to that in a minute. But I want to speak not about the world's problems tonight, dear friend. I want to speak about yours. You say, I didn't know I had a problem. Well, if you are unsaved, if Jesus is not your personal saviour, you have a great problem. You have a big problem, dear friend. And the gospel goes out that you might realise the greatness of your problem and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. It's interesting, I just quickly say that the Lord Jesus solved the problem in the boat with a word, didn't he? The power of Jesus, and that's, I would just draw your attention to that, the power of Jesus. We saw that in the reading, didn't we? The one who has all power, King of righteousness, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will deal with all the world's problems by his power. Who he is, that blessed man. But in order to deal with your problem, it wasn't a word. Really, all that I want to say tonight is encapsulated in the hymn that we sung. We could have just sung that hymn and gone home. Because it says far better than I can what I'm trying to say. Jesus in that boat, he commanded the winds to stop. Who is this? The disciples say. Tonight, as you go out of that door, I hope that you can say who it is. Jesus. Not only the one who can calm the storm, but the one who can solve my problem of sin. The problem that exists in everyone's heart here tonight. The problem of sin. That thing which keeps you between God. You and God. That thing which will, if unless you're saved, bar you from God's presence eternally. Oh, you know how people lightly talk about hell. We read of it this afternoon, didn't we? How lightly people talk of it. And yet it's a real place, dear friend. A real place. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And they will go there. But in God's ways, because he's perfect and just, he cannot have sin in his presence. And therefore, if you meet God, as you will do, I can assure you, this dear friend tonight, that you will meet God. If you meet him in your sins, then there is only one destination. But dear friend, I'm not preaching hell tonight. I'm preaching a saviour who can deliver you from it. Our deliverer, it says, from the wrath to come. Again, this afternoon we were reading of what wrath will come upon the earth. If you think the world has got problems now, and it certainly has, what problems there will be just round the corner. There is one who's going to deal with that. But the greatest problem tonight is not the world, it's you. Where do you stand, dear friend? Are you still in your sins? Or can you say, like the hymn writer, my sins, not in part, but the whole, are gone forevermore. And that's why I read the second scripture. And as we sung in our hymn, it wasn't by a word, it was through the agonies of Calvary. The sufferings of Jesus, not at man's hands, or bad, as terrible as that was, but the sufferings of Jesus at the hand of God. As a holy God, put all my sins, every one of them, on the head of Jesus. I want you to picture the scene in Luke chapter 22. It's interesting, isn't it? It says, and going forth, he went according to his custom. He knew that the soldiers were just round the corner. He knew that everything was against him. But he wasn't deterred. He carried on, didn't he? As was his custom. He went to that place where he communed with his Father. He went as his custom to that place, knowing that everything was before him. But he went there just the same. But this was unlike any other time. If he'd been there many times before, this time was the final time on earth that he was going to speak to the Father like this. And it says, he knelt down. I think that's very affecting. You think of this, the Lord Jesus, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who, with a word, silenced the storm. And yet he knelt down. He knelt down and prayed. Father, if it be possible. Just think of that, dear friend. Was it possible? You know, if you are going to be saved, for your sins. If you're going to have peace with God, it wasn't possible, because God had to deal with sin. And there was only one that could deal with it, and that was his only beloved Son. Mm. Only one suitable, dear friend. Mm. There is only one Saviour, and only one was qualified. There have been many good men, but they're not perfect. God, as we see in the Old Testament, he required a perfect sacrifice. Mm. A lamb without blemish. Mm. There's only one Saviour tonight I can present to you. A perfect Saviour. He lived a perfect life. But you know, it's not a perfect life that saves you. People, you know, they try to follow Jesus, and without being saved in the flesh, you can't do it. He's a model that we should walk in his steps. But it wasn't his life that saved us. It required death. You see, because sin has to be judged. God is righteous and is holy, and sin has to be judged. In the Old Testament, it was on a lamb or a ram or a bull or a goat. That was just a picture of that one sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And there is only one Saviour, God's beloved Son. Yes, he's the great I Am. He's the creator of the universe, and the one who can speak with a word. Be still. Who then is this? And yet he knelt down in the garden. And it was so awful what was before him. You know, I often say, I've said to my family anyway, it's a good thing we don't know what people are thinking, and it's a good thing we don't know what's around the corner. It would be impossible, wouldn't it, if we knew what was ahead. Life is so full of surprises, it would be impossible for us. But Jesus knew everything that was ahead. That cross and its suffering was ahead. No wonder he knelt down and said, if it would be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he wasn't deterred. You know, we as weak human vessels, we're easily influenced. We're swayed, aren't we? This way, that way. Put off, deterred, steered in another direction. The Lord Jesus was never deterred. He says he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. And so, because of his love for his Father, you know, Jesus loved the Father like none other, his own Father. But his love too for you and me. I know there's a song, I don't know if it's completely right, but it says, when he was on the cross, he was thinking of you and me. But you see, it is true, isn't it? When he's looking down through the centuries, he was thinking of his Father first, if it be possible. He was determined to fulfill his Father's will. That's the first thing. But I think he also went on towards the cross because of his love for you and me. Wonderful Saviour, if it be possible. You think of the agony of that. It was a work. It wasn't just a word, as we sung in our hymn. It wasn't just a word. It was a work, wasn't it? Thank God that work was completed. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. How I'm thankful for those three words, you know. Because of that, my salvation is guaranteed. It's assured. No ifs, no buts. You know, people, even those that profess to believe, sometimes on their deathbed, they're not sure. The devil, of course, can attack. We know this. He's an awful enemy, although he's been defeated, hasn't he? But you know, those three words, it is finished, gives you that absolute cast iron assurance that the work of Jesus is sufficient. And the blood that he shed is sufficient to wash away all your sins and make you fit for the presence of God. What a saviour. It was a work. Something that cost the Lord Jesus his life, his reputation. You think of the mocking and the scourging. Song of the drunkards. Railed at even by his fellow prisoners on the cross. And yet he went through it all for you and for me. Can that not but affect you, dear friend? And as we said in the reading, it's a wonderful thing to think that this one who went through such agonies and through such feelings of heart for you and for me is the one who is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, dear friend, tonight, I'd ask you, are you saved? Saved from your sins? Saved from this present evil world? I've started by saying about the problems in the world, and they seem to be mounting up every day, don't they? But if you put your trust in Jesus, then you belong to us. You belong to another king, don't you? You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness, which is more and more apparent every day, and you're transferred to the kingdom of the Son of his love, and you belong to him. Our commonwealth is in the heavens. We don't belong here anymore. What a hope the believer has. Dear friend, tonight, do you have that hope? There's no hope in this world. If I was an unbeliever now, how depressing it would be. Without God, someone preached from that scripture the other week, without God, without hope in this world. And as you read the news, how true it is. Without hope, without God. Men have cast God away, haven't they? And they're reaping the consequences. But tonight, that very same God knows your name. He's for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you peace and joy. But he can only do so on a righteous basis. He can't just brush away your sins. They have to be righteously dealt with. And that's the point of the gospel. That God has come out in blessing to you and me because he's satisfied with the work of Jesus. And he can say that everyone that believes in him is justified. As the hymn says, he can point that sinner that repents and believes, can point to the atoning blood and say, this has made my peace with God. What are you resting on tonight? There's only one place to find peace and joy. That's in believing in the Son, believing in the Lord Jesus. As we referred to in this afternoon, Psalm 2 is a picture of Jesus coming in judgment. He's going to deal with the nations. My Saviour is going to deal with the nations. But the end of the Psalm 2 there, it says, kiss the Son before he gets out, before he is angry. And that's the point of the gospel. Now you have that opportunity to embrace the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Kiss the Son while he's available. Because this door of mercy, this day of grace, is closing. If you think things are bad in the world now, what it will be when the church and the Spirit of God is unbearable, it will be unbearable, unthinkable. And so there's an urgency in the glad tidings. Meanwhile, if you're a believer, you know that your faith is settled in that person and his work. And I revert back to Luke 8. If we have storms in our lives, and all of us do, every one of us here, as I look round, have had storms in our lives. But that precious one who saved you from your sins and is your Saviour and your Lord is the very same one who can still the calm, still the storm. He can bring calm just by a word. Just by a word. That's the Saviour that we can belong to. That's the Saviour That's my Saviour. The one that suffered and died for me and has given me peace is the very same one who has such power. And he can calm the storm. He can give peace in any situation. Dear friends, tonight I commend this blessed Saviour to you. May you put your trust in him, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.